to the club, cause you're that kind of nerd.
Hello and welcome to the club that is That Kind of Nerd, a show where we talk about the nerdy things that we're passionate about, and then we judge each other on what we bring to the table. It's real conversations with imaginary points. I am joined by the one, the only, Brian Thornton.
Oh, I'm sorry, since he's not here. What up? Did I do it right?
You did do it right. I am your humble host, CJ Mellon, and normally... it is three of us. Josh Burns would be saying, what up? But Brian, I think you filled it in absolutely perfectly. I feel like he's here.
I am not nearly as learned or worldly, and I definitely don't have the sports and music knowledge that he does, but I can, in fact, say what up.
Are we allowed to to mention the big game, or is that not allowed by the rules of someone trying to sue you at this point?
I mean, I think we already know the answer to that question. But I mean, if you're listening to this now, the big game already happened.
Right. I was very excited to see the sports team win the big game. My real favorite part was when that big play happened. Craziness.
You realize you do the same joke every year, right?
Do I?
I guarantee you, if I pull up a Super Bowl episode from the last year or two, you did the same joke.
If a listener compiles all of our previous Super Bowl-ish episodes together and sends a clip of me doing whatever it is.
There's at least five of them at this
That's
point.
That's fine. I will send some kind of swag in some way, shape, or form. On me.
Or a basket of mini muffins.
All right. Let's get to talking about this, because some stuff went down in the nerdy world, and normally what we do, right, is we kind of go over some topics and we're doing points. It's just the two of us. There's no points, Brian. It's no points.
Right.
But I want to get...
I get all the points.
You do. You get all the points.
I win.
Because I...
Suck it, Josh!
All the points go to us.
I'm not so sure about that.
All right, that's fine. So, with that, there's a couple things that happened, though, that I am kind of curious to get your thoughts on. And I'm going to start with my topic, because I can, so screw you. That is, there have been...
I thought they were all your topics.
That's very true.
Go for it.
These are all catered by me. There have been some rumors, rumblings, confirmations, as well as just, like, general assumptions going...
Some scuttlebutt, you may say?
Oh, God, please not that. Going on with Microsoft right now. And it seems to be that the Xbox is going to die. Why do I say
Didn't
this?
Didn't Phil Spencer already say they're done with consoles?
Yes, there have been, well, no. So Phil Spencer has given, who is the head of Xbox, has said several things about the Xbox. The first one is, every Xbox sold is a loss, just so we're clear, right? It is a loss. The hardware costs more to make than what it is to sell. And Phil Spencer has explicitly said they're not going to try to out-console Sony and Nintendo, right? And we all know those two guys are doing perfectly fine.
Pretty much just saying we admit defeat.
Yeah, the big announcement, though, that really kind of was, oh, this is really going away, is two games that were exclusive to the Xbox platform, Starfield and the new Indiana Jones game, both Bethesda Game Studio games, which are exclusive to the Xbox right now, are confirmed to be ported over to the PS5, and there's even rumblings to the Nintendo Switch. So... Those are the confirmed two things happening, right? And I'll get your...
Those are confirmed, but the scuttlebutt that I've heard is that they're going the route of Sega, a la the days of the Dreamcast, yep, where they essentially are saying, listen, we can't afford to be losing money on these things anymore. We're not getting ahead of it. But you know what the Xbox did give us? Game Pass.
Yes.
And the idea is that we're going to make Game Pass available for everything. So you have a PC, great, you get Game Pass. You have a PlayStation, great, you can get Game Pass. You got a Nintendo, cool, you too can get Game Pass. And if with that happening, that means everything that's exclusive to Microsoft will end up on any platform that you want.
So then the big question is...
A la, like, you know, when Sega said, hey, we're done, we're just going to make games and we're going to license Sonic out to Nintendo, yeah, right? Like, he hasn't officially said, hey, we're done with consoles.
Right.
They're done with consoles. Like, the first Xbox was a $4 billion loss? $4 million loss?
It was a very big loss.
And a big number.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the big piece of this for me. Even if they obviously losing the Xbox is not a big deal, honestly, right now in the gaming landscape, right? There are not many Xbox diehards left out there, right?
There's more than you would think.
There are, but here's the reason why there's not as many. Is anything that's available on the Xbox is available on Windows to be played on the PC Correct. Level, right?
Correct.
And
yes.
The reason that while this sucks, this is also not all bad news, is because this doesn't mean that this is bad for people who like playing on Windows or people that like this stuff, because I'm going to point to two things. The circle of life, as it is, when it comes to the gaming industry, the Xbox is going to die. They're just going to move over to PC gaming, which has had a huge renaissance in the last like 5-6 years, right? Huge. And yeah. And when you look at this...
Yeah, between Steam and Epic.
Yeah, exclusives aren't as everlasting as they used to be. And I'll point to two examples, right, that were exclusives that changed my path for gaming. I have been an Xbox person since the early 2000s when the original Xbox came out. I never had a PlayStation until my PS5, right? Never had one.
You fool.
I was an NES, right? Then my family skipped the SNES. We went to Sega Genesis. Then we went to the N64. Mm-hmm. We went to the GameCube. I got the Xbox. I got the 360. I got the Wii, right? I got the Switch. I got the Xbox One. I was the guy who watched the E3 presentation where they said, and your Xbox One's going to be your cable box. And I was like, that's actually really good. I'm really excited about this. I can't wait to do the TV tuner stuff with the Kinect.
Terrible freaking idea.
I was the only person who loved it. I was sad when it died. Right. But here's where the tide shifted. My Xbox One was dead in the sense of just like, can't run any modern games on the Xbox One. And I'm looking around going, I have played Skyrim and Fallout 4 to death. There's and Grand Theft Auto 5. There's no reason for me to buy them again on a new console, right? I'm looking around going, there's nothing really exciting on the exclusive side of Xbox that I'm really excited for. But man, this Spider-Man game that's on this PlayStation 4 is really good.
Mm.
And I know I went to you at one point, Ryan, and said, can I maybe one day borrow your PlayStation just so I can play this one game? Right?
Yes. I do remember that conversation.
And I bring up Spider-Man because that is right now the thing that made me buy a PlayStation 5, right? But guess what, Brian?
Yes. Yes.
That's not exclusive to Sony anymore. It's on PC right now. You can play it on PC.
Sure.
The Last of Us, right?
Yeah, how successful is
we'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that part in a moment. This is my hope. This is what I'm saying. This is my hope, right? The Last of Us, which is, again, another example we're going to talk about in a moment, exclusive to the PlayStation, drove PlayStation sales like crazy.
Mm.
Once everyone had played The Last of Us, essentially, they brought it over to PC, right? Where, hey, even the things that are locked to... We're going to get to it. Even the things that are locked as exclusives at some point do cross over to the other side. Now, Brian, you brought up a very valid point. The ports for Spider-Man and the ports for The Last of Us to PC are a fucking dumpster fire, right? Just absolute garbage. So I'm hoping...
They were made for consoles.
Right. I'm hoping, though, that when the Xbox dies, which I don't think there's going to be a next generation of Xbox, and if there is, it's the iPhone S version of an Xbox. They're just going to spec bump it and put it in a slightly different square box that looks like a mini fridge, and that's going to be the end of it.
Mm.
I'm okay with this. I'm okay with Microsoft saying we're going to leave the console because they're not leaving gaming, right? They're going
everybody should be okay with this,
right?
The fact of the matter is, to your point, everything is available on a PC. I remember having multiple discussions with people when the PS5 and the Xbox, what is it?
X and the S.
Now,
yeah.
The X and the S were coming out, and everybody's like, oh, what are you going to get? I'm like, this isn't a hard decision. If you want to play Halo, because the thing was, but Halo Infinite. Halo stopped being good with Halo 3. Yes, I said
I agree with this. Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, even if Halo Infinite lived anywhere near the hype that people had behind it, you can play it on PC. Why get an Xbox? My argument was always, why get an Xbox when if I get a PC for about the same cost, maybe a little bit more, I not only get everything available through Microsoft, but I get the whole Steam library. I get the whole Epic library, the ability to download literally any game for the most part, with the exception of the games that I, again, this is me personally, I personally want to play. I want to play God of War. Can't play it anywhere else. I want to play Naughty Dog titles like Last of Us. Can't play that on PC. Can't play Spider-Man on PC. There are multiple... Can't play Final Fantasy VII on PC last time I checked, unless something changed. But Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is coming out. It's either already out or coming out the end of this month. My dates are mixed up.
See, as a guy who never played PlayStation until the PlayStation 5, I don't have any attachment to that franchise. So, yeah, I get it. Well, I played it.
You need to play Final Fantasy VII Remake. But here's the thing. Kingdom Hearts.
Uh-huh.
Kingdom Hearts was exclusive.
Is it on the
Sony
Switch, too,
forever.
Now?
Sony. It's on the Switch now, too, yeah. Sony, for the longest time, and to this day, is the only console that still has third-party studios who want to work exclusively with them.
Yeah.
And release games only for them. Xbox doesn't have that anymore.
Ironically,
they had it for 360. They don't have it anymore.
Ironically enough, Starfield, right, was supposed to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive. Microsoft came in with a big bag of money before they bought the whole studio, right, and said, make it for us instead.
Right, that's the thing, though, right, is that, like, we all thought that Microsoft going and acquiring Bethesda and Activision and Blizzard was this big ploy to say, now we have exclusives. Now you have to come get an Xbox. And, like, so that this is the confusing part for me. Bethesda, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Dragon Age, anything new that Bethesda wants to come out with. Bethesda is a known studio that the diehards will buy and then defend the shittiness of a Bethesda.
Correct. I am that guy.
Starfield's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Starfield's the perfect example, right? Starfield is not even half a game. It's a quarter of a game. People will defend it to their dying breath for whatever reason, but it has a diehard fan base, right? Activision/Blizzard, same thing. Overwatch, a huge game until Microsoft acquired it and made it shitty. All of the Call of Duty games. So, like, I'm confused. This is what confuses me. And it's not that, like, I'm sad that Xbox is going away. But from a business aspect, like, this was your chance to say, guess what? Now we got exclusives. This was your chance to make this the Sega versus Nintendo days again. And you're not going to do it. And I guess it's because I guess the consoles just lose that much money for them. And because Game Pass is exactly that, it's a subscription. You're not making a ton of money on that, I suppose. Right?
Correct. Well, I get, the bigger thing is this, right? If every Xbox sold is a loss, right? What are you counting on to subsidize that loss? You're counting on the subscriptions, right? You're counting on Xbox Live. You're counting on Game Pass, right? You're counting on that. You're also counting on digital downloads so that people buy their game because they're on your store, just like Apple. You get a cut, right? And you're hoping on exclusivity driving all of that. And I think, honestly, when you look at the landscape and Xbox and Phil are smart enough to just say, we're losing this. To your point, we are literally trying to box our fan base into, you can't leave us because we're going to have the new Elder Scrolls game and it's exclusive to us. So if you want to play just that one game, you're at least going to have to buy an Xbox. Fuck you, right? And realize that that's not going to work. And because they were like, the thing that's making us money is the subscriptions, and the thing that's making us money is this digital marketplace, let's stop the bleeding with this hardware then. We get the same cut when you buy it on your PC. Your Game Pass works just as good on your PC. And the exclusives, we had to pay to get those exclusives. That the amount of money that we did, let's just fucking buy the studios as they did. And now we don't have to play exclusives out the wazoo, but now we get all the revenue.
All the money.
When you go buy a Bethesda game now on the Xbox marketplace, we get 100%. We own Xbox and we own Bethesda. It's us.
But even if you buy it on a PlayStation, they get 90% of that.
They get 70%.
They're only getting a certain cut.
So,
right.
I think that's the writing on the wall. Here's the thing where I'm a little like, because then we come down to the console gaming. I am a console guy, right? And I get that when Elder Scrolls comes out, the next one comes out, because they've announced that it's in development.
That I'm, yeah, okay.
I am that day one buyer, dude, for those, that property. If it's available on the place,
you'll buy half a game.
If it's absolutely, and the DLC to come with it. When it comes out, if it's on PlayStation 5, you have my money, right? It's there. If it's not, I'm going to be the guy going, all right, so what would like a really shitty setup, like enough to run the game? Maybe I'll do that. And then I have Steam. But here's my question. Here's my thought. We're going to go down to two consoles. Nintendo's fine. You and I and Josh, we have talked ad nauseum about Nintendo doesn't have to flinch with these guys. They can keep doing whatever the hell they want to do, because we're going to buy Mario. We're going to buy Zelda. They make their hardware for their software. It's the shut up. They'll be fine, right? Nintendo's not even noticing what anybody else is doing.
Sony, not even including what they're doing with movies now.
Yep. Sony's just like, listen, we've already been winning. So like, what the hell do we care? Oh no, you left. Oh no, right? They're going to be fine. My question is this. There's only going to be two console makers. And this, I was talking about this with a friend. Wild theory came out of them, and I'm kind of curious to get your perspective because you're in the gaming field. Does this leave a power vacuum that somebody would want to fill? I'll start with that. Do you think that would lead a power vacuum someone wants to fill?
Does it leave a vacuum? So you say power vacuum, and that implies that it's not that it wants to be filled. Is that it needs to be
there,
filled.
Maybe not, right? Power, like, just a vacuum.
When there's a power... But I mean, but here's the thing. The key word there, vacuum, is intimating that it needs to be filled. I don't think this is going to leave something that needs to be filled. Will somebody try to fill it? Yes, absolutely. Just like when the Dreamcast died, we had Sony, we had Nintendo. Did we really need Xbox to come in and say, we'll take over this space? No, you did not. That's what they tried to do.
Well, I mean, they did with the Xbox and the 360. Like 100%, they got Halo. They won those. Yeah,
absolutely. They went in, and you're absolutely right. But I think, going back to, what was that, 2000, 2001? Because the Dreamcast did not last long. It launched in 99, and it died when?
03? Early 2000s.
Yeah. So my point is, in just nailing down how quickly the Dreamcast died, is this. We once again were left with, at that time, it was the PS2, and it was...
It was the GameCube. PS2 and the GameCube.
It was the GameCube, mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't need another console, right? Like, there was no... Because what was Dreamcast bringing to the table? Sonic, right? So my
Don't shit on the Dream. Don't My shit on the Dreamcast.
I'm not going to. There's plenty to like on the Dreamcast. Soul Calibur started on the Dreamcast. Obviously, you got your Sonics. I love the game. The controller was interesting. I loved Power Stone was a great game. That's like you still can't get, right? So like there was things to like on the Dreamcast. My point whenever I talk about video games is this: it's not ever about the hardware. You made a reference. Nintendo builds their hardware to support their games, right? Specifically, because the Nintendo Switch is the most underpowered system out there. But it also makes its games look the best. Like, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom look amazing on that console, even though it has no business looking as good and operating as good as it should, right? And that's because Nintendo specifically builds the hardware to work with what they're trying to accomplish in their software. My point is this. It's always about the games. It's so rarely about the hardware. And anybody who's sitting there going, oh, the PS5 has X amount of processing, I don't give a shit. It doesn't fucking matter, right? What matters is the software. And so my argument, I want to finish this thought, and then I know you want to talk. My argument is this. Back in the early aughts, Dreamcast was offering Sonic, Crazy Taxi, a couple other things that were easily ported over to other consoles. Within a year of the Dreamcast dying, we had Crazy Taxi on GameCube. We had Sonic DX Director's Cut released in 06. So it was one of those things where, like, well, I've already got these things now. Like, the things that I would have wanted to fill that vacuum, right, are now available on other consoles. So now, what does Xbox bring to the table? Exclusively? Bethesda, Activision, Blizzard. They have a lot more to bring to the table, right? But the thing is, they've already presented the solution of you're going to be able to play it on anything.
On anything, yeah.
So I don't need a new system to replace them because I get the software I'm looking for. Does that logic make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. The thing that came across in my discussion for this was there is still a desire to get good gaming done on good hardware that isn't a PC. Not only just because a PC does require a little bit of technical expertise to get up and running, right? And some people are not fans of the Sony PlayStation, not only just because of maybe the hardware, but also just things in general. And one player stood out with, if I were to look at a company and just kind of close my eyes and throw at the dartboard, it would probably land on them because they're right now kind of big in this space. And that was Steam. And the reason that Steam entered that conversation for us was the Steam Deck has proved to be wildly popular, right? It's also done a good competition in the sense of playing and, again, driving that revenue, right? It's driving people to the Steam marketplace to say, buy it here. Don't buy it with Microsoft. Don't buy that. You can go play Red Dead Redemption right now on your Steam Deck, right? And Steam gets that.
My thing is, Steam is popular because of Steam.
Right, not exactly.
The Steam Deck, right? People bought the Steam Deck for the Steam library. And Steam is also very popular because it is a lot easier for me as an indie game developer to build a game and get it on Steam. Once it gets traction on Steam, then I have legs to go, hey, put it on the Sony marketplace, right? So I don't know how well the Steam Deck is doing in terms of sales. I do remember.
Do you remember the Ookla? For those of you who do not remember the Ookla.
And I remember the Ouya. I remember all these things.
Or the Ouya. Maybe that's what it was. It was Ouya. No, it was Ouya. Ookla is the speed test company.
Ookla was one of them too.
Well, no, Ookla was something. Ookla is the speedtest.net company. That's the ones that tell you how fast your internet.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Ouya.
It's the Ouya.
Ouya's promise, and this is a very bad plan. There's a great YouTube video I'm going to put into the show notes that really goes into the history and the deep dive of the Ouya. Because this happened during our Best Buy days, was an Android-powered cube. And when I say cube, y'all, I mean like no bigger than a can of soda cube, right? That ran Android that basically said, hey, indie developers, here's a huge, easy-to-use SDK. Our promise, our thing is, we're going to fund you and give you money. You have to make your games free to play, but there is a way that you could go back-end subscriptions, back-end revenue, right? You can get that in there. And it's Android powered. So this thing is very small, it doesn't take a lot of setting up. Get in, get out. And this will be the indie game house of the console wars, right? It failed for a bajillion reasons, right? Most of it was not.
You don't think Google takes another stab at it?
No, I think no, because why would they? They learned how bad Stadia was. Because
they're Google.
Well, that's true.
I'm not
nine messaging apps.
I'm
you're
saying,
absolutely right. Well, okay, so maybe Google.
Right, I'm just saying you don't think they try to fill this void that we're talking about, right?
I don't, only because they really left a bad taste in gamers' mouths, and gamers don't forget.
That's true.
Gamers don't forget, and gamers like Steam, and I think that Steam, to your point, indie developers, big large catalog, there is money to be made of. Get in the Steam world, y'all. Don't go to Microsoft. Don't go to PlayStation. Get in the Steam world. Get that recurring revenue. And all they need is a small box that's a low-powered PC, very similar to, again, a PlayStation 5 is essentially a vampire with its collar up PC, right? That Steam could make something of like, hey, the Deck, very Switch-like even if you want to, dock that fucker, have it on the TV with a little extra GPU, right? And Bob's your
uncle. Steam Deck, I haven't actually held it yet, but like it's a thick boy.
I've
seen pictures. It's a thick boy. It's legitimately the size of a Game Gear.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I used to have one of those. My brother had a Game Gear.
Remember holding a Game Gear? I used to have a Game Gear too. I used to have Game Gear too. I think in a world in the world that we're in, I don't know if the Steam Deck says, oh, let's just build a dock and make it like. Listen, that's puppies and rainbows and unicorns like land. I think you're right. I think the most likely culprit is going to be Valve and Steam, right? I think they already have a UI built. It's easy. You just build the hardware, right? And then the question does become, you know, how cumbersome do we want to make this hardware? Do we want to be portable or do we want to lock it down?
Knowing them, I think they make it modular.
I think so, because let's face it, as successful as the PS5 has been, we're getting a peripheral to the system that allows me to go portable as well. So let's face it, in 2017, Nintendo changed the game with the Switch. Like, and they had no business doing it. Nintendo DS was their highest selling console. That was their portable console. Like the DS, the 3DS, the DS XLs, the DS XI, huge amount of money for them. And they were also making money on the consoles. They had no business saying, why don't we combine the two? What are we doing with all this money here? What are we doing with all this extra money?
What are we doing with all of this? Right.
And they did it. I'm very happy they did it. I love my Switch. And they changed the game. I don't know if we ever go back to standard like box consoles anymore.
Hmm.
If we can figure out
portability and docking,
and still have the power, right?
Because that's the big
power
problem
of a PS5,
right? Yeah,
but portable. That's the biggest issue with the Nintendo system. But let's face it, PlayStation is thinking of a way around that, so that hey, you still get the power of your PS5, but you also still get to be portable. Here's this peripheral, right? Yes, it's an extra $200, but if I get that beauty that I see in my Spider-Man game and my God of Wars, and you know, if I get that portable,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'll pay it.
The thing though,
I'm fine with
the
that.
Thing though with the portal, and the reason why right now I'm not gung-ho for it, but I think Sony's a little bit ahead of the curve, in the sense of the portal requires an internet connection, right, in order for it to work. That's also its downfall, because I saw a guy who was like, I'm at a hotel. Have you ever tried to log into a hotel Wi-Fi network, Brian?
Oh, awful.
The worst part about it is you have to do this authentication process. You have to say, like, I'm not going to do anything with porn and I'm not going to download movies. The portal has no UI to get past that login part, so it's useless. And right now, mobile connections and Wi-Fi that's not in your home network is so unreliable when you travel or go places that, like, the fact that it has to be connected to your console via the internet is a bad deal, where the Steam Deck and the Switch win is, this is the console, dude. Like, this is it. You could be out on the top of a mountain. You're good. You can play Red Dead Redemption looking over the mountain that you're actually on, right? Like, it's one of those things.
Probably not Red Dead. But yeah, I mean,
that's the only thing I can think of.
And the other thing you gotta remember is, like, Gabe Newell, like, every time I read an interview with this guy, it doesn't sound like he has any interest in competing with these guys, you know. Like, so really, if the decision to make a console is legitimately the decision to be in that competitive space, so I don't know if he's gung-ho about it.
I think it's important for somebody else to come into the space, mainly because like we just talked about, the way you make money nowadays, and even Sony's acknowledged this too with the PlayStation Plus subscription, is recurring subscription revenue, a large category of games that you can play kind of on demand or rotating catalog, right? Like the Game Pass and like PlayStation Plus. And hell, even Nintendo has a subscription to play their old emulated games, right? Or get the DLC of Animal Crossing or Mario Kart. That is the way. And I think, again, Steam came up because they have their marketplace. This is prime for them to do it. And I prefer a console, mainly because I don't want to fiddle with a process. I don't want to fiddle with RAM. I don't want to do with cooling. I don't want that hardware problem, and I'm not willing to spend the money on that. I want to just pay either maybe every 3 years or every two to just say, hey, give me the thing that plays the Bethesda games good, right? Like, give that to me.
I 1000% agree. And that's why I'm more of a console gamer myself. And I think this year, more than any other year, it has started to shut up that PC Master Race bullshit talk when we got the because you said we'd revisit it. Those ports for Last of Us and Spider-Man are awful. They play for all of these PC people who are like, my way of doing this is superior. For a console game to perform so terribly, Last of Us looks amazing. First off, Last of Us, the original release, was on the PS3, and it looked amazing then.
Yeah, and then the remaster looks really good.
Now they've redone it, remastered it. I'm going to probably pick up the remastered and Last of Us 2 remastered, especially since I would like to play both of them before season 2 of the show drops. It was just a shit show. Such a shit show. And the thing about PC gaming, PC Master Race, you're more than welcome to come after me all you want. I don't give a shit. The fact of the matter is, what's the big draw? Oh, you can mod things. Why the fuck would I want to mod a game that I'm already playing, right?
It's so fun
like,
to mod a game.
And like, okay, I get it. I understand when it's like Fortnite or GTA 5. Fine. You want to walk around in a giant panda suit? Great. You don't need to do that shit with My Last of Us. You don't need to do that with Spider-Man. All you need to do is actually work and play, and they couldn't even do that right. So, like, I think we've given this topic a ton of air. But at the end of the day, here it is. To your point, Microsoft's probably not going to make another console. If they do, it's going to be their grand hurrah, like, hey, here's one last thing, boom. Or you know what I see them doing as one last hurrah? You remember when the PlayStation 1 and the PlayStation 2, they were starting the towards the end of their life cycle, and then Sony said, we're gonna make another one, but tiny.
Yeah.
And they gave you the tiny PS1 and the slims. Yeah.
Not that, no, just to I be fair, not the mini, the slims, not the stupid emulator version. Yes. The slims. Okay, cool.
Right. I have the emulator version. It's fine.
It's not good.
I would not be surprised if Xbox says, hey, here's a Roku box that's exclusively for Game Pass.
Right. Go. Okay. Yeah.
Just
here's a stick.
A little square box. Yep. All it does.
Ooh, yeah.
All it does is Game Pass.
Right. Okay.
Well, you go ahead and sell a couple of these for $100-$150 a pop. Great. That's the last console we ever do. For those of you who don't want to buy a PC but still want Game Pass, there you go. And that'll be it. And maybe they make an update to that every 5 years or so as the hardware needs to be, updated. But that's it. Xbox is the consoles are done. Long live Sony and Nintendo, and it's completely fine. It's okay, because at the end of the day, what matters is the games, and I still get all of those things. This is not like when Quibi shut down and everyone was like, where's the Quibi stuff going to go? You know, like...
Now, you've got a way to keep them alive. So, like, this isn't... That's what I'm saying. This isn't Microsoft exiting the gaming industry. It's just saying, there's no need for us to be involved in all this. We want your subscription model. Have it wherever the hell you want it. We just want your money, okay? And you want every time we
just
sold
like
you...
Sega never left the game. Dramatically decreased their output.
Okay, all right. I think they left the game for a few years, but you're right. Yeah,
They dramatically decreased their output. But now, the past E3, they made this whole new Crazy Taxi coming out. From Sega.
As we're pouring one out for the Xbox, because you just mentioned it too, this is also the moment to pour one out for E3, because that's gone forever now too, and that makes me sad on a different level. I appreciate you talking.
E3 was not good for the years moving up.
But the nostalgia of it will always live in my brain.
The nostalgia of it is always great.
Thank you very much for giving me your insight into the gaming world. You are there more often than I am. So I appreciate your take. I will now yield the floor. Dare I say to no? You want me to intro this to the next?
I don't have anything. Well, you have all the topics.
Okay, I thought we were talking about. All right,
I gave you the topic. I would like you to intro it.
As we just discussed about the kind of the consolidation of the gaming industry, I think you and I are kind of getting our crystal balls out a little bit right now and looking down into the future. And we're noticing that the wars that are currently going on are about to end. And I, of course, mean I think the streaming wars need to wind the fuck down.
Is it even a war anymore? It feels, you know, when like, I feel like this is one of those, you ever see a fight go on just a little bit too long?
Yeah. Stop it. Like, he's already dead.
Both people are battered and bloody, and like it's not even exciting to watch anymore. It's just like they're like swatting at flies at each other, like, and like the other guy's like, Like that's what I feel like the streaming wars are at now. Like, listen, it's over. Can we just shutter the doors that we need to and combine the services that are going to get combined and move on with our lives?
That's the piece right there. I think you and I are kind of looking at this just going, this is getting crazy. And I'll tell you what really kind of started this final nail in the coffin thing, and a few things. This is a very large topic, but so we'll keep it to a few points. Recently, Disney Plus and Hulu, because they're now the one and the same, put out another. They are the next streaming service to say, hey, are you sharing passwords with people? Stop that. Bad. Right. And we're all like, guys,
hey, remember the whole
when
thing
this started, that was the
on.
Whole point. You promised us you were gonna be cool with
Stop
this.
That.
You promised that, like, hey, we're the cool. Listen, we're the cool parents. Okay. You can drink as long as we know you're safe. Right, you can share your password as long as we know.
Just do it under our roof.
Just do it safely. Netflix came out and did it first and pissed everybody off. Disney and Hulu are doing it. It's getting to right now. I think Max is the only one who's just like, please, just give us the money. It's too much.
They're next.
It's too much that we. I know you had the same conversation with your wife. I had the same conversation with my wife, which is first off. Everyone's still password sharing, so screw off with this threat, okay? What are we sharing? What are we not? What are we paying for? What are we not? And if we lost access to the things that we're sharing and or things that are shared with us, what would we say, okay, I would pay to keep this service going? And the answer became smaller and smaller and fewer, and the justification to keep things became way harder than it did when this all started. And listen, I understand that everything costs more right now, but I also know that all of you are publicly traded companies, and we see how much fucking money you make, so don't cry poor to me, okay? So I know we went through this personally with our significant others about what will we keep, what will we not keep. My question for you is, where do you see some of the consolidation coming down, and why do you think we need to consolidate? What's your take on why this feels, because this is a moment. Why is this the moment that everyone's finally saying enough is enough?
Listen, at the end of the day, I think everybody's at a point where they are tabulating the bills and saying, why am I paying this? Or what am I getting out of this, right? And to your point, I mean, I was there. I had this conversation with my wife, and we were talking about Netflix in particular. Because Netflix is
$24
a month now.
$24. Well,
it jumped up to $30. I thought for the 4K.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing.
I'll look it up. Yeah, I don't know the prices anymore.
I remember getting an email. This is what spurred the conversation with my wife. I got an email from Netflix saying, we're raising your bill again. And oh, hey, by the way, remember the fact that we raised our prices the very first time we raised our prices, we said it's because you're password sharing. So we're going to make it so that you can still password share, but you're going to have to pay a premium price for it. And I was okay with that, right? Like their top tier was share it on 4 screens. And now it's still share it. You can play on 4 screens at once. I don't know any family who is playing 4 different Netflix movies at one time in 4 different devices.
In the same
and
house.
And if you are great in the same house, that's the main thing. But if you are great, good for you. I'd suggest maybe like family time.
Here's the pricing, real quick. I just want to give you the pricing with the spec on this one. Just
yes,
to
please.
So it is $22.99 per month for the Mac Daddy of it all, right? The 4K ad free, the whole thing, right? $22.99, and then each additional family, because you can add 2 people that are not inside your household, which is the situation that password sharing usually does. You can do two of those at $8 a pop.
At $8 a pop, why wouldn't you just sign up for your own special Netflix?
Because a standard Netflix, right? Because again, no ads, because screw ads. 4K, no 4K, just full HD is $15.
So this goes into my next point, is the fact that, okay, their top tier model. Now, the selling point, because the selling point used to be I could password share and have these accounts, right? Now the selling point is, well, you'll get 4K and no ads. I don't know about you, CJ. Last time I checked, every television was 4K.
Yeah. So like, you can get a TCL.
If I actually want to, like, if I want to watch 4K content on my 4K television, I immediately need to buy this. Or, yeah. And the other part of that is no ads. I love how we're advertising no ads like it's a perk, right? when it originally launched. When this thing was promised to us, the promise was no ads.
That the old way is gone. No ads. No commercial breaks.
And so this boggles my mind with Netflix, right? Like when Hulu launched, there were ads. When Peacock launched, there were ads. We're not hiding it. We're upfront about it. Here are ads. And then like Netflix and even Max and Disney and Amazon are all like, hey, no ads is a perk that we just manufactured yesterday because we decided to give you ads. And it's just like, it is legitimately, it feels like a bait and switch, right? And I feel like that's the other part of this, is that people feel cheated. I was promised something. We all know, yeah, prices are going to go up. We also know, yeah, business models are going to change, right? Yeah, but we always seem surprised when that happens, right? But like,
how could this faceless conglomerate betray me?
And here's the thing, like, as a business, you are fine to change your model and to introduce new things and whatever you have to do. But the fact of the matter is, you also need to be prepared for people to say, that's not what I was promised, and then cancel their service. Right? Like that is also something that is a very real repercussion of changing your business model. So I think, to your point, and to you know, put a pin on the question that you answered me, is we are looking at the promises have changed. They have altered the deal. Pray they don't alter it any further. And we're looking at the money that we're spending on these altered deals. And we're like, is it worth it anymore? I don't know if it is, right? So like when I got that email from Netflix, I looked at my wife and I said, as soon as Stranger Things wraps up, we're going to need to decide whether or not this is something worth keeping.
Yeah.
Because like that's it. That's my Netflix is a Stranger Things machine at this point. That and Queer Eye.
Yeah, they're holding on to those two finales for dear life.
That's also in danger of ending. And once both of those are done, what is there? You know, I've seen, and the thing about when it comes to Netflix, I'm zeroing in on Netflix because it was the first. It saw everything, right? And that's a Five Nights at Freddy's reference. And Netflix launched and had this promise of, we're going to have Disney movies. We're going to have HBO. We're going to have Warner Brothers because we're optioning all these licenses, right? And then all these studios looked at this and said, we want that. We'll just do our own thing. And now Netflix has nothing. They have their original programming, and a lot of the stuff that they're getting is international, which is not a bad thing by any means, right? But they're like, they're acquiring it in huge batches, right? It's just like huge amounts of stuff. And I think I said to you privately, like for every Squid Game, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of crap that they spent money on that gets them nothing. And so like, I don't see how long that business model lasts. Something legitimately in Netflix seriously has to change. The other thing that they have is terrible romantic comedies.
Yes.
It's the Lifetime network of streaming services.
Which, by the way, Lifetime has its own streaming service.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you really want the Hallmark Channel, and you can get it.
So, again, like, it was fun over Christmas, Cassandra and I, my wife, we watched a couple of those crappy Christmas romantic movies, and those are fun, right? Like, whatever. But like, that's not something that I need Netflix for. To your point, Lifetime is there and will always be there, you know? Pluto TV has like those Lifetime movies on there too, you know, which is also
free but ad supported. Yeah.
Tubi, free, ad supported.
Cat Williams right? made so, like, me very aware of Tubi. Maybe open Tubi for the first time
you
ever.
You weren't aware of Tubi? Tubi's nope. got some stuff.
Couldn't find Cedric the Entertainer on there, though. I thought that was odd. That's a joke you don't get, and four people do, and that's okay. All right, here's my thought on this, if I may. And you brought up something that is that reminded me of the olden times, which was Netflix right now is a Stranger Things machine, right? It's the only thing that I'm interested in is what is my Stranger Things. I get it, right? But that is the Netflix thing. That is it. Back in the day, right? And I would still say now to an extent, but really back in the day, HBO was what is the Sunday 9 p.m. show, right? Whatever the Sunday 9 p.m. show is, that is what HBO is. And then I find other things based off of that, but like that's what my subscription is based off of. And once I'm done with that Sunday 9 p.m. show back in the day, I cancel HBO because I don't need.
Yeah.
I don't need everything else. I don't need Weeds. I don't need right. that. Like
you do it for 4 months.
This season Sopranos. Then I cancel it and then I move on. Right. I don't need Nurse Jackie. Blah, 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 yes. blah, blah. Netflix right. being the Stranger Things machine. I know. Okay. I'm obviously not attuned with this.
You clearly don't know any clearly, HBO shows.
Clearly can't remember. Clearly can't remember them. Max has ruined my brains for what is HBO, what is not HBO. It's all up in the air. But anyway, that Netflix is going the same way now. Of once I'm done with the Netflix thing, I don't need it. And then when someone says, "Hey, there's that new thing on Netflix," I would be, "Is it worth?" Is it worth signing up for? Maybe we'll do 1 month,
a month
so we can binge it and then get the fuck out. I'm not sticking around again and doing this. Hey, every 3 months, even at that point, would be cheaper because it used to be so inexpensive, so negligible that keeping it year round was a fine expense for the convenience of not having to do this cancel ad dance. Right. And now that. All of these streaming services, all of them, are in the $20 range. I just did my Disney Plus annual now, right? And
that was $120.
That was
year.
A big one. And I was like,
yep.
right? Going, okay.
I will say this. It is for the year. I think it's smarter to pay by the year than by the month.
Right.
Anymore.
But to give you a discount rate. But again, we looked at my wife and I talked to each other and said, do we want to keep, is it worth the year, right? Can we go a month or two without Disney Plus? The answer is no, because we have two small children who watch Bluey every day. So
yeah, you'll always need Disney.
Percy Jackson. Yeah. Again, Percy Jackson is done right now, right? And if I applied the Netflix model to Disney Plus right now, I'm looking at Disney Plus going, you don't have any other original thing going for you now. It's time to cancel my Disney Plus subscription, and I'll get it when a new Marvel thing comes out or something like that. The
I think to your point though, even with for families with no small kids, right? Disney's always going to have a place. It's got the IP. It's got Marvel. It's got Star Wars. It's got the kids stuff, right? And it's got nostalgia.
As a man who has a Blockbuster down in his basement, if you're that dedicated to those franchises, you've got them. Like there's so many posts. There's so many posts though about the return to physical media because of all of this, right? That people have done the math. It would just be easier to just buy all the Star Wars movies on Blu-ray, right? Buy all the Marvel stuff, right, on iTunes and own it. And we'll talk about iTunes and all that stuff, owning it at a later time with Josh, because he's very angry about that, than having to pay to rent, right, a movie in the cloud. The next bit to the streaming game that changed it, and again, the thing that got me agitated, was I wanted to watch Showtime. Right. And I have access to Showtime, and I went to the Showtime Anywhere app and it goes, what are you trying to do? I'm like, oh, I pay for Showtime. I'm trying to watch Showtime. No. What do you mean? No, you're Showtime. This is what I pay you for. Be the app, you dumb app. And it's like, no, you can't use this app anymore. Why the hell not? You have to go to Paramount Plus. I'm like, OK, so I go to Paramount Plus and imagine like a bouncer at a nightclub. Right. You walk in, hey, Paramount Plus, how are you? I'm just here for Showtime. Yeah, let me see your Showtime pass. Yeah, here's my Showtime pass. Up, 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 up. Where did you get that? through I got it from Showtime. What the fuck's the matter with you? No, dude, you had to buy it from me. What are you talking about? I bought it from Showtime. It doesn't work here. What do you mean? If you want to watch Showtime on Paramount Plus, because you can't watch Showtime on Showtime, you have to buy Showtime on Paramount Plus. What? I already paid for you.
What's the point of buying Showtime?
What?
What's the point of buying Showtime then?
This is what Paramount's done. They go, crap. Nobody wants Paramount Plus except for people that like Yellowstone. Oh, crap. Now it's on Peacock. People who like... Right.
Paramount Plus has Star Trek.
Star Trek? Yes. Okay, that's true.
Paramount Plus has Star Trek.
You're absolutely right. Paramount Plus has Live Long and Prosper. And Nickelodeon. Anyway.
Nickelodeon.
But listen, they realize that they're not very desirable. Okay? People have looked at Paramount Plus going, you're kind of the worst value for everything, to be honest. Right?
Sure. There's not a ton to draw you to Paramount Plus. I'm with you.
So they said, how can we stop you from leaving us entirely? Do you like the Showtime stuff? Yeah. Okay. Well, then buy it through us directly. So now we have your money instead of you paying Showtime, even though we're the same company. Don't let it make it. Bye. Right. And they conned you into you have to have this.
So what are you watching on Showtime that makes you so angry about this?
Right now, I'm watching Billions. I've never watched Billions before, and I wanted to watch Billions, and I wanted to watch it on an app because I was, you know, on my phone or something, and Showtime was like, no. And I was like, what is this? But again, this is another way that the promise has been broken, right? The promise was buy Showtime and watch Showtime anywhere. And you're like, here I am, go away. Buy HBO and you can watch HBO anywhere. Not anymore. It's called Max. You have to get everything else with it. Get out of here. You're not allowed to use this anymore. Get out. You have to get rid of the old way that we promised you we were going to let you do this. And you have to do it the new way. And the new way is just, can I get more money out of you and not give you any real value for it? It's just getting to the point, again, where I'm looking at these things going, my life would be fine without Paramount Plus. It could go away tomorrow and I'd be okay. I would maybe even be okay with it being gobbled up and becoming a super app like Max. Like, I'd be okay with that, maybe.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking is going to happen, is that I'm thinking there's at least one or two more mergers in the books. I don't think Netflix is going to remain the way it is. I don't think it can. I think it either absorbs something or it gets absorbed by something. And whether that be Paramount Plus or Peacock... Mm-hmm.
Actually,
it won't be Disney.
Can I make a brain? My brain just spewed out a name when you said, who's going to buy the Netflix thing? Who's going to merge with the Netflix? And a very random name came out.
Sure.
Roku. Don't know how familiar you are with the Roku channel.
Gross.
But think about this. Okay. There are Roku TVs.
I'm thinking about it and I'm grossed out.
Right. But that is exactly who would. I mean, didn't Roku buy Quibi, or didn't they buy the content from Quibi?
Roku did acquire all the Quibi.
I'm just saying. At that point, they've got an eye. They've got an eye for buying shit.
They acquired Quibi.
They've got. I don't think they bought Quibi. They bought their content.
Listen. There was actually some legit shit that I actually was
enjoying.
There were
two good things on Quibi. We're not. Are we relitigating Quibi?
There was the States of Fear. There was the States of Fear.
The only one remembers this, besides the people that were in it.
Liam Hemsworth, Most Dangerous Game thing with Christoph Waltz. That was pretty good. The Idris Elba race car show. I didn't care for the cooking show with Titus Burgess. I was not.
I don't know. You are the only person who remembers these things besides the people that were in them. That's it. It's you and the people that made the content.
Quibi. I enjoy. Listen, it started off as a joke, and then I started actually enjoying the Quibi stuff. I'm not joking.
It did. We were ragging on Quibi so much. I feel like this is one of those guys with like Nickelback.
Quibi,
right?
As an app was terrible. Quibi as an
it should have been
a,
like, you can't
idea.
Be on a TV. We don't allow it.
The Quibi content
was not very good either.
There was not bad stuff. Oh, Dummy! I watched Dummy with Anna Kendrick. That wasn't bad at all. I did watch Dummy. And that I would have watched the second season of it if Quibi didn't die. Like,
I remember I had Quibi for free, and I still didn't want to watch it. They literally were like, here, take it. And I was like, thank you. This is useless. And I threw it away.
I don't know. Some of it.
So anyway, so listen. Since Quibi had such a great library of content, Brian, Netflix gets bought by Roku.
The Princess Diaries home movie was a Quibi original.
The fact that listener, I want you to listen up. Brian, while he's sitting in front of a computer, has nothing open on his browser to tell him the Quibi content. The guy is just memorizing that crap. It's in his brain for free.
It is in my brain.
He's pushed out probably middle school algebra to remember the Quibi content.
Did you see the Uber Eats commercial that's going to air during the big game, by the way?
No, I did not. Did you just call it the big game? So no one's coming after us. There's no advertising here.
Listen, you just saying that made me think of this commercial, and I saw it on TikTok, and the whole concept is in order to remember something, you have to forget something.
Correct,
else.
Yes.
And so the concept is, oh, hey, you know, I'm so glad I remembered that Uber Eats now delivers, you know, office supplies or retail stuff. Oh, it's just a shame. I must have forgotten something. And one of the people is Jennifer Aniston. And so she, like, gets an Uber delivery, and David Schwimmer's like, Jen, hi. And Jennifer Aniston's like, I'm sorry, who are you? And that's the concept. She forgot her entire time as Friends.
To remember Uber.
To remember that Uber Eats delivers flowers or some stupid bullshit like that. I'm like, that's good.
So good. I want to end with this, and I want to end with your prediction, right? So with absolutely no vendetta against any individual streaming service or multi-billion dollar conglomerate, in your opinion, what is the first streaming service that you think falls as a casualty of the streaming war, the password sharing, the price, the consolidation? What's the first one?
Are we including Hulu in this? Because Hulu's the first to fall. It's very easy. Disney's absorbing Hulu. I would be surprised if it makes it to 2025. They've already started it overseas.
Right.
So
okay.
Hulu drops.
Maybe that's
Hulu drops. Hulu gets absorbed.
Sure, maybe that's the gimme.
Let's not include
that. Gimme. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
That's the gimme, sure. Right? It's Netflix. It's got to be Netflix. Netflix does not have the content anymore. We've already talked about the last couple things that they do have are ending or have ended. Their UI is a mess. It's so funny that
Hulu UI is
the people who pioneered this have the worst UI.
Netflix's UI is the worst.
Their catalog.
I'll disagree. I disagree with you on that one.
I am way more. I know you hate Max, mm-hmm. right? You hate Max's mm-hmm. UI.
Actually, the worst though is Hulu's. Hulu's has the worst, which is hello. I would like to watch what I was watching. No. What do you mean, no? It's nine things down. Go get it down there.
Oh, that's, yeah. Netflix does that shit, though, too. And Netflix, you know what pisses me off about Netflix? It changes. One time I'll open up the app and it'll be like, continue watching right up top. Next time I open up the app, continue watching is six lines down.
I have to go
through
romantic comedies featuring
snow. Why do I have to go past romantic comedies? I didn't all of a sudden have some urge to watch a romantic comedy that you picked up on. You changed where continue watching was. Why would you do that? It changes every time I open it.
They want to trick you to watch an Adam Sandler movie they paid a lot of money for.
It's ridiculous. So yeah, Netflix has the worst fucking UI. And anyway, just the content's not there. The pricing is ridiculous. The value is not there anymore. They don't have anything that says, hey, you need us to watch X. Whereas Max, you need us to watch, hey, House of Dragons is going to come up soon. You need Max. Unless you're paying for HBO, the channel, you need Max to watch House of Dragon. You need Max to watch the second season of The Last of Us, right? Including all the other stuff, right? Hey, got kids? Want Sesame Place? Sesame Street? Boom. Max. All the DC content? You're a comic book fan? Cool. You need Max. Discovery? Want to watch House Hunters International and make fun of the ridiculous standards that Americans want to have in a London flat? Great, because that's what me and my wife do. Max. So Dude, have you watched
House? That is where I learned that you rent a kitchen in Germany, that you buy a kitchen. Your place friend, doesn't come with a kitchen.
There's always one person in the couples who was like, I like a modern feel. And then the other person's like, I want that old charm. And like, I want to be close to the city, but I want to live in the suburbs. I want to spend $800, but I want 6 rooms in Center City, London. You know, the city that, you know, is way older than any other city in America. Like, you know, it's just, it boggles my mind. Anyway, if you want to do that, Max is your boy, right? Disney, we already talked about Disney. You're never going to get rid of Disney. Not only does it have Star Wars, not only does it have Marvel, it's got all the nostalgia. It's got Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. There's a gajillion other things on Disney Plus. Netflix doesn't have any of that draw. And then Paramount Plus.
You're taking my answer from me. All right. Why don't you just name all the services and tell me when they're going to fold? No.
Well, here, you asked me the question. You can just sit there and agree with me.
I asked you one. What is the first I asked? And now you gave me three.
You go ahead and make your case for Paramount Plus.
My pick is going to be Paramount Plus. The thing that drives Paramount Plus, honestly, the thing that's driving Paramount Plus is two things. It's Yellowstone and all that guy's content, and Josh is yelling at me that I don't remember his name.
Ty Sheridan.
Thank you. It's all his content, and it's Star Trek. The Nickelodeon stuff is an afterthought when it comes to Paramount Plus, because if you are a diehard, listen to me, because this is different than Disney. If you are a diehard Nickelodeon family, which, by the way, are there diehard Nickelodeon families? And I understand the Paw Patrol shit. That 90s stuff,
kids.
They're not, listen, the 90s kids are not watching Nickelodeon stuff. If you don't believe me, look at the documentary that's coming out from Discovery to expose all the bad stuff that happened at Nickelodeon in that time. People don't want to be associated with loving that stuff. So anyway, the thing that's driving it is Tyler Sheridan stuff and Ty Sheridan stuff and Star Trek. And we already seen Yellowstone go over to another streaming service, right? To say, hey, come visit us. It's over. It's visiting. Get us here.
Yellowstone's over. This is the last season.
Right. It's visiting us right now. Come watch it. And it's not a stretch to just have, hey, listen, I know that Paramount's going to somebody says, we're not doing well on our own. Just buy our stuff like you used to back in the day. We'll be your exclusive streaming partner together. Charge an extra $3 as an add-on to get all of us and give us that revenue. And that's the end of it. I think Netflix is going to slug it out one or two more rounds before Paramount Plus, but there's going to be absolutely no love or joy or anything left. It's going to be international catalogs, dubbed and sub stuff on Netflix, no good original content. The second that Stranger Things and the drama for Queer Eye plays out and it dies too, there is nothing holding anybody to Netflix. And then that catalog can go the same way as Quibi. But I think Paramount Plus is going to get it first. I think they're just going to realize this is expensive. This isn't worth it. Who wants our catalog? We'll let you have it. We'll give us a shit ton of money. Share some of that sweet ad revenue. Make us an add-on just like they made Showtime an add-on. And we'll be happy to go. So that's where I think it's going.
I mean, I think in the – and we can end on this. I think in the world of streaming where we're at right now is – I'm not so sure it's going to be a matter of – I think these apps are going to start dying. Don't get
it's
me wrong.
It's an if, not
I
what, also it, don't it, think it's a when, map. Not if. Sorry.
It's a when, not an if. I don't, but I also don't think it's going to be exclusively this app is dying, hence now like we kind of reset to where it was when Netflix. Right. But I do think the Apple TV model is where we're going to go. So Apple TV, I can subscribe to Hulu and Disney Plus and all these things like through that app. Like,
you know why they don't like that though? You know why that? Because then
I know why Disney doesn't like that, but Apple, I'm sure.
Why nobody?
Is fine
Apple loves it. No one else likes it because Apple's taking that 30% and probably honestly not 30%, but they're taking that money off the top.
Same issue that we talked about with the Sony PlayStation Store. Same issue that we talked about with the Epic Store.
Yeah, but there's no actual lawsuits against Sony and Microsoft for that right now, and there are several for Apple playing out on that exact fee right now.
You're absolutely right. Once they figure that shit out, I don't listen. It is all. It all comes down to money. And once Apple says, "Hey, listen, we're going to take X amount instead of the 30% that we take now," it's going to play out a little bit differently. It's centralizing everything, and it's making it so that I don't open up 16 separate apps. And if I don't have to open up 16 separate apps, and then maybe, you know, there's some incentive for signing up through it through Apple TV Plus, maybe these things become a little less expensive. Not saying a ton, but a little less expensive.
I don't know.
The way that the Apple... I'm just spitballing here.
Now I'm having a memory loss, which is weird for me for an Apple product. The way I thought that the Apple TV model works is you can buy that app and that service through us, a channel, right? But when you go to watch it, you're going to that app. We're keeping track of everything. The way that Amazon Prime works with that is buy it with that. It is a channel inside our Prime app, but I could be mistaken.
I'm almost positive Apple TV Plus does the same thing.
You're probably right. It's that. I appreciate you giving your insights on both of these things. And I think, again, I think there's a reckoning that's going to happen with this stuff, right? And I think the Xbox going away could be the domino that starts the other dominoes down the road. And I'm hoping that at the end of the day, we have a consolidation of this stuff. The promise is, while broken, semi-restored, that it's not as much as a hassle to do gaming, to do streaming, to have your entertainment without having to be so fragmented, without having to be so hard to keep track of and all over the place. I yearn for the good old days. The next time we have an episode, I do want to talk with Josh in particular about the consolidation of sports, because that's another thing that's happening this week that's been announced. And when we talk about streaming, sports is the thing that's gummed it all up. Just to put a button on that and to think about this, a YouTube TV used to cost $30. Now it's $73. Why? Sports. So very curious to get his take on the consolidation that was proposed and see how that's going to change that streaming landscape, because it is a nightmare to stream sports. So I look forward to hearing what that is. So, listener, thank you so much for making us your walk around your neighborhood, your drive to work, or whatever it is we are in your life. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Make my heart go boom, boom, boom. My supernova girl.